Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, hello, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience and our audience around the world. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
We're so glad for you to join us. If you missed earlier, we're talking about an earlier program. We have four programs back to back about the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. And that's so important when you think about the struggle that so much of the church has today. It has in the context of thinking too much about the kingdoms of this world.
Mm-hmm. Way too much.
Yeah, this world is not our home. Just recently, I talked about, you know, having a heavenly focus, living as holy strangers, and at the Dream Center, and you got to get that. Hopefully, that's available for you on in the VFN TV store. But in the context, you think about it, we're called to live as holy strangers. Mm-hmm. That holy meaning not, you know, more holier than thou, but in regards to we're God's. You know, we're His. And we're His disciples, and we follow Him, and He saved us. He brought us out of the world, and that's really what the church really means, you know, just pulled out of the world. And now we're His. We're the body of Christ. And then He tells us to live, you know, you think about Abraham said in Hebrews that he lived as a stranger, as an alien. Mm-hmm. You think about it, in his own land. And you think, my goodness, you know, sometimes we try to settle down too much in this life and in the white picket fence and this kind of stuff. And it's like, you know what? 95% of American Christians do not win one person to the Lord in their entire lifetime. Hmm. Because we kind of settle down. We're not strangers. We've conformed.
Right.
Instead of not conforming to the patterns of this world. And he tells us, you know, do not be conformed to the patterns of the cultures, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think one of the big struggles that we're having today, you know, keeping the conversation light, you know, what's really going on in today's society in America is that we've become a subculture to the world, and they see us as a subculture. You know, you are us, but you're also the church.
Right.
And no matter how the world sees us, we are what God says we are. And he tells us not to conform to the patterns of this world. And he tells us to be holy. When you think about that, that's like separate yourself in the context of how the world does things and do things in your life in the same place that you've always been, but do it unto the Lord. So you still go to your job, but now you do your job better and you work at your job as unto the Lord because he's the one that rewards you. And so it's not about, you know, holier than thou stuff. It's like you're still showing up at work, you're still doing your job, but you're just doing it better now.
Right.
And so when you think about that, you know, living as a holy stranger, and it's like, well, you know, when will I enjoy life? People say, well, you know, aren't you supposed to enjoy life? Didn't God say you're supposed to have, you know, well, the American gospel, you know, all the different things that mm-hmm. that's preached, and people are going like, the only one that has it is the one that's preaching that.
Yeah, right.
But understand that you may be an American, but you also may be in India somewhere, you know, a very impoverished country, or you may be in China, or you may be in North Korea, or you may be in Israel, or you may be in Iraq. Either way, you know, you're in the body of Christ and you're a Christian living as a holy stranger. And you think about it, if it really was about this American dream, you know, and that's what the church has preached so much about, you know, God doesn't love you if you don't have this, 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 and this. But if you have this, this, and this, you're obviously loved by God and you're doing what's right. And that's not true. If you actually read the Word of God, you'll find out quite often, you know, many people had a lot of things. The rich young ruler walked away from Jesus himself and said, you know, he was sad because to follow Jesus mean for him that he had to give up his stuff and his things. And the rich young man that wouldn't even touch Lazarus outside of his gates. Well, he had a lot of stuff and things, but he wasn't right with God. He went to hell. And the one that was homeless and outside with all the sores and stuff, he got healed and he went to heaven. And you think about that. So it's not what, you know, some of the twistedness that's been taught. But in the context of that, it's like the reason why is because we have a place. I want to encourage you. that there is a place that's being built for you. If you're a Christian, you're a believer, Jesus says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I wouldn't be coming back for you. We think about it. Jesus is coming back for his church. Mm. He's coming back for his church. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? I am, and this is what Paul said. He said, listen, if Christians, if all we have is the hope is in this lifetime, then we should be pitied more than anybody else. And quite often, because the church is so earthly focused, and because obviously the world just sees us as, you know, what are you doing? You know, mm-hmm. and because they don't see it beyond, and you see this downcastness. But when you begin to look at the fact that, wait a minute, there's God is preparing heaven, not it's for you. Where there's no more tears, no more sickness, no more disease. And not only that, he's preparing a new earth and a new Jerusalem, and old things are going to pass away and all things are going to become new. It's a heavenly city that he wants to live with you forever. This right now, this life right now is just for us to be able to bring him glory. Mm-hmm. It's to live for him in this lifetime. I like to call it premarital counseling. This is for us because we're going to be married to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, as the bride of Christ for eternity. We're going to be presented before the Father. Father's going to present us to his son at a big wedding banquet. And this is like, you know, I want to be able to be a loyal spiritual spouse, if you will. I want to be loyal to Jesus, and I want to be longing for his return. And so I started thinking about, you know, if I was to die today as a believer, I win.
Mm, yeah.
I win. And there's so many people that call themselves Christians, they're worried about death. They're fearing death. But Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, he took away the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So you don't have to fear death. Why are you so afraid to die? Mm. Think about it. Everybody's trying so hard to live, they never do.
Right.
They drive 400 miles an hour trying to just to go home and watch TV. And it's like, what? Was this what you're doing? Is this your life? We're Christians. We are part of the kingdom of God. The God of the universe, whose son is Jesus Christ, whose spirit dwells inside of us. This world's not our home. And so we can live as holy strangers. Think about this. I want to encourage you to begin to live as a holy stranger. You know, treating people the way God says treat people. Being loving and kind and forgiving and sharing the good news of the kingdom and operating in godly principles with your business and at work and in your finance and all those different things, your relationships. But understand that you're not banking on things having to work out some certain way in this world. They've already worked out. They worked out on the cross. They worked out on the cross. We've won already. The only reason, Paul said, the only reason that I'm here for God. I don't mind being there with God, but if I'm here on earth, I'm here for God. And this meant that Paul, even when he was being stoned, even when he was being beat, even when he was being in prison, even when he was in double chains standing before the king, it didn't even faze him because he wasn't trying to find his fulfillment in this life. He already had it in Jesus Christ. He even told the king when he was in double chains before the king. He said, I wish you were like me except for these chains. I mean, if all you're thinking about is an earthly viewpoint, you know, somebody would think, well, he's being falsely accused. He's in prison right now. He's living this horrific life. He's almost, a mob almost killed him. And why would he want to be like that? Because Jesus found Paul. On the road to Damascus, he met Jesus. He met the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is an exciting thing. And people will weight you down if you don't understand where they are focusing. They're focusing their life and their intention about what this life is about. If you're watching them downcast and sad and they're like anchors and it's like, my goodness, what is going on? Have you forgot about the good news of Jesus Christ? Have you forgot that you're saved outside of your, he brought you outside of your sins, saved us from our sins, brought us into the family of God. Not only are we we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's powerful. We are co-laborers, ambassadors of this kingdom here on earth. And it's like, but we've got to pull ourselves out and untwine our vision of thinking, because you have to understand, if truly the prosperity gospel, and I'm for prosperity, believe me, But if it works so well, we got to stop preaching in America because we are already richer than 70% of the world. We need to go to Nepal and preach it. We need to go down to some very poor. I mean, think about it. The poorest person in America is richer than 70% of the population of 7 billion people. We need to take you up and drop you with a parachute down in these impoverished nations so you can begin to preach prosperity so that suddenly, you know, they will come up and they'll be a quote, like America. You're saying that your gospel was the reason for America. And the truth is God blessed America.
Right.
That's why it is. And so, and I'm for prosperity, please. I'm at, you know. But the whole thing is that if it, that was really it. And the thing is, no, you can actually be living on a fixed income and you have a social security income coming into you. Maybe you're a viewer right now on Christian Television Network and you're thinking, you know, you're hearing all this prosperity and all this other kind of stuff. And you're looking, you know, you got just enough money for your food and you have some medical coverage and you have a house and you love Jesus, you know, and you're living your life out. Listen, that's a blessing. You're blessed. But understand too that the moment you go to be with this life is over, you're going to be with the Lord. If he doesn't come back, if all of a sudden, you know, the Lord come back while you're alive, I mean, you're going to be with God. You're going to win. We're all going to be the same. I like 90 Minutes in Heaven, and hopefully that'll be a related article to this. I want to talk a little bit more about that because when we get there, despite how we are in this life, as he said, when he got to heaven, he spent 90 minutes there and began to look around at everybody. We looked a lot better than we do now because everything was fixed. We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Healthy communication is vital for a healthy marriage. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and a lack of talking truthfully can harm your relationship. Here's family counselor Dr. Randy Carlson.
I think a great discussion within a marriage relationship is when do we feel closest? What's happening in the relationship when we feel that? But I would encourage a woman to sit down with her husband and honestly talk about this. Again, I think it's so often what happens is disrespect shows up, words start to fly, people withdraw from each other, a wall goes up, sexual games start to get played, as opposed to just being honest.
Be proactive and protect against problems by being honest with your spouse about what's working and what's not working in your relationship. Then stop by focusonthefamily.com/marriage for more trusted advice.
God is doing some amazing things. If you missed our earlier program, you need to get a perspective of a crying out for justice with Pastor Saeed. Remember, we're four programs back to back. If you missed any, you can catch them at VFNTV.com, get download our app or whatever. We want to keep in a continual conversation with you with that because we got to have a perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. The reason why is because God's going to hold you accountable. God is going to hold each of us accountable. We stand alone before God. And that's how you can just be confident that you're just doing what you can with what God has entrusted to you, and you're being faithful. And one thing that we want to do, and the Lord's really spoken to us about this, that, you know, stay in relationship with us. We'll stay in relationship with you as long as the Lord will allow us and say, you know what, let's continue this broadcast around the nation and around the world. But he's shown us some very hopeful things. And if we will trust him in this, and if we will believe him and begin to speak these things out while getting our heart, it's not like a default setting, like we can stay in rebellion and stay in sin and continue to, you know, all these wrong things and it's going to happen. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and turn and pray to God, he says, listen, he'll hear and he'll change things. And I believe he's going to change things regionally. He's going to change things state by state. So you can be in a state that's lost their state of mind, the original intent, or you can be in a city that's lost their state of mind, and you can say, you know what, this particular city is like the city that Lot was in, so I'm going to find me another city under a man or a woman of God who loves God, who hears from God, and I'm going to plant myself right there, and that's where me and my family are going to sow,
We're going to be faithful to God. We're going to pray God for that, pray that God would cover us in the context of that and speak to us, and we're going to obey God in that. And maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Truly loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Our hope, and we are hearing the Lord, as many are, and we, our goal is just to communicate that to you so you could be all that God has called you to be. And find out more at vfndreamcenter.com, vfndreamcenter.com for more details on that. You can join us virtually or join us on the Gulf Coast. We're located in the Pensacola area, but also reaching around the nation and the world with it's exciting.
It's exciting.
It's exciting what God is doing. We call it the dream because it's what God said, and we're just doing what he said, and it's amazing how that's taken. That's why we're here. That's why we're here talking to you right now. God said it. We're just doing just doing it.
That's right.
Just doing what God said.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat, and we are talking about living as holy strangers. I mean, think about it, that, you know, you may be wondering, this is the question that a lot of people have, especially young kids, but truly just people quit talking about it, but this is what they feel. But young kids, they immediately begin to think about, I don't fit in. I don't fit in. All they want to do, all a teenager wants to do, they just want to fit in. Mm. I mean, they don't want any big names necessarily. I mean, there are those that want their name up in lights, Glee and all that. But but there is, they just want to fit in. And the truth is, none of them feel like they fit in, you know, but that's what that's a struggle. And, but yet it happens even in life when people say, you know, I've joined this fellowship, this church gathering here, this church, and I just don't feel like I fit in, you know, or, no matter I'm in something, maybe you're in the office and you're like, there's these cliques going on. I don't fit into that. And, but Paul tells us very specifically in Romans 12, Verses 2, he says, you know, do not conform, do not fit into the patterns of this world. We're supposed to live as strangers. I mean, we really are. And what's so important is if you continue to love people, even though you don't fit in, they're going to, you know, turn on each other and all that kind of stuff's going to go on. And they're going to look to you, a stable figure in society, and they're going to ask you, you know, what do you think? Can you pray for me? Can you help me? What do you think about this situation? But if you get in the whole thing, if you fit in, at some point you're fitting out of the kingdom. If you start fitting into darkness and ways that God says, you know, don't do, then you're no longer fitting into the kingdom. And so the struggle that people have about, you know, wanting to, well, I just feel like a stranger. And it's like, that's really good because that makes you, what you want to do is find some other strangers that are living as holy strangers, mm-hmm. called the church. And hang out with them and love on each other. And then go out into your life every day and love them even though you don't fit in with them. Even maybe they won't even let you fit. That's a gift, by the way, if they won't let you fit in. If they're in dark ways and they're doing things that are not right and they don't let you fit in, thank God for that. And quite often, you know, Christian parents have children that they're wanting to raise up in the ways of God, but they're struggling inside going, you know, I just want Bobby to fit in at school. And it's like, the reason why he doesn't fit in is because he knows God. And you're trying to get him meshed into that. And it's like, you know, teach him how to fellowship with fellow young people who are believers, maybe the youth in your church or whatever it is. And think about that. And he's like, you know what? Maybe it's good. You know, maybe it's good. But really the truth is when you think about it, that, we actually honor folks that don't fit in, the ones that just step outside the norm and become successful, because you got to step outside of what is. From what one particular statistic I heard, that 3% of America employs the other 97%.
Wow.
Well, that 3% had to step outside of being employed to become an employer. I mean, it's huge. I mean, it's a small little number. 97% of America is employed by 3%. Mm-hmm. That 3% is there. Everywhere you look is 3%.
Everywhere.
I'd like for this whole 3% to get together. We can change the world.
No doubt.
And, you know, and so somebody steps outside and says, you know what? I just wanted to start my own business. I wanted to be able to bring this vision to pass. I wanted to be, I mean, think about Charles Seymour with the Azusa Street Revival.
I mean, he stepped out of the norm. The norm was to be repressed, to be segregated, to be put down, that God couldn't use you. And even his own spiritual father, the way Charles Parham, you know, rejected him, and how, but he didn't let that get to him. And he just stepped out of the norm and began to cry out for revival. And who else was doing that? Mm. You know, to our knowledge, this was in the midst of, you know, all the things that took place and the earthquakes that took place in that area, that he cried out to God, and God moved, God answered. That's huge. Mm. And what we call the Azusa Street Revival, and it's, and think about it, it was in a stable. It was in a place where horses were kept. That's where it was, where they gathered at. So it's not about, and good buildings are nice, and those are nice. I mean, who doesn't want a good building? But nobody wants a good mortgage, you know. Right. It's like, but it did, God was able to move in a stable. And this is the big thing, is because we have to participate in the move of God. If we can't find God in a stable, then we won't find God in a stable. If we can't find God in anywhere, and only here, we may never find God anywhere, because we have to say, I want God. Wherever he's at, I want to be there. But you think Jesus was born in a stable. Right. He was born in a stable. And so you have to step outside. You know, Charles Seymour said, you know, he rented a room in this house, and he began to pray for, you know, he wanted desperately a move of God. And we really desperately, you know, want a move of God, know that we need the presence of God, know that. But, you know, if you look at the norm, if you look even in the context of the American church today, you know, what's the church doing? What's really going on? You know, I don't want one more teaching.
Right.
You know, you think about it. It's like, why teach one more thing that the church is not going to do? Right?
Right.
We need God to touch us, to touch our hearts, to say, you know, I want to do what you're teaching. You know, I want to do the word. I want to do the will of God. And that takes a powerful move of God, and we're believing for a third great awakening. And so when you look at Charles Seymour, he stepped outside the norm. He stepped outside the norm. You looked at Dowie. Dowie stepped outside the norm. Oral Roberts, he stepped outside the norm. On and on and on. You could talk about Amy Simple McPherson. Come on, I mean, she was a lady in ministry. She didn't even want to even start the Foursquare Church, but nobody would accept her fruit or ministry because she was a woman. They wouldn't even accept it. So she had to start the Foursquare Church, and God used her powerfully. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's where the Assembly of God's roots and all that comes from. Right. That. And you have to be willing to say, you know what? I don't care, even as one of God's folks, that I don't fit in. It's okay. What is God calling you to do? Because if Christ is in you, you fit in to the family of God. You fit into the kingdom of God. That's an awesome thing. Mm-hmm. And you want to be able to bring people to God instead of you and leading others and to fit into the world system. But this is what Paul said. Paul said, you know, do not conform. Don't fit into the cultures of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, why does your clothes have to look like this culture's? And it's progressing. I mean, the clothes look different all the time, but why is something inside of you say, I have to look like everybody else looks? And I'm not saying, you know, wear clothes up to your chin and stuff, but just whatever. I mean, why not just be yourself? You know, why not be what God has called you to be? You know, how the Joneses are going, or what your neighbor is doing, or you have a perfectly fine apartment, a house, a place that you're living, but you're looking what other people have and you're thinking, you know, I want to have what they have. It's like, you're wanting to fit in. You know, you should really think about, you know, God, what do you want me to do? Maybe you want me to sell all this and just go to the mission field. And think about the Moravians. I mean, the Moravians, who they prayed for, 100 years? You know, they prayed for 100 years. And they sent missionaries out. And some of these Moravian missionaries, this is what they did. They stepped out of the norm and they said, listen, there are slaves on this particular island here who nobody's brought the gospel to. We want to be able to win them and let them know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. We want to affect them to with the gospel and the kingdom and bless them. So they sold themselves into slavery. They sold themselves into slavery and said goodbye to their wives, said goodbye to their children, never to see them again. Huh. I mean, how many people in America says, I can't follow God because this and that and the other, or, you know, my wife says don't follow God, or my husband says don't follow God, or my my children, so they, you know, they'll be mad at me if I fall. It's like, what is God saying?
Right.
Quit fitting in to the world and start fitting into the kingdom of God. And there's so many people right now that are desperate and need to know. And we talked about earlier this week, looking for thank you. There's people out there that would be grateful to hear from God. And so we're called to live as holy strangers. We're called to live in the world, but not like the world. Mm-hmm. But yet we're called to love the world. We're to love everybody and to pray for them and to bless them and to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ in hopes that they too would enter into the family of God and they would no longer fit in. That's what we call a church. When you have a whole bunch of people who don't fit into the world because they made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, that's the church, that's people. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important for you not to give up the day of fellowshipping as the day grows closer, because you're fellowshipping with people that you fit with, people who love Jesus, who love the Word of God, who love, you know, you can eat together and talk together and sing together and worship together and do things together. And then when you go back out, you know, in the world, you're not worried about fitting in because you know where you fit. You fit in the body of Christ. Listen, living as holy strangers really helps out when we realize this world's not our home. We have a heavenly gaze. We're looking straight towards the heavens going, you know what? My Lord's coming back for me, but if I was to die now, don't have pity on me because I'm going to be present with my Lord. No more tears, no more sickness. Amen.
The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from Rex to Specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have 4 programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com. But don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up. And every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program. Mm-hmm. And you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says, visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know, when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFN TV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to the VFN TV and Daily Radio Program. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And we'll give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience and our radio audience around the nation and around the world. We are, if you missed our earlier program today, don't forget we're four programs back to back where we're talking about, you know, living as holy strangers with a heavenly focus. And that's, I mean, think about it. We talked earlier, and you got to catch it, about separating the kingdoms of this world from the kingdom of God in our heart, understanding that, you know, we're not of this world. But then thinking about, you know, I need to quit trying to fit in, and I need to do, fit into the world. I need to fit into what God's family and what God's wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. You can do all these things. You can have businesses and work and houses and cars and jobs and all the whatever, but you still can't. We're supposed to be loyal to God. We're supposed to have that inner feeling. It's like, you know, I love these folks, but that's just not my thing. I'm not going to do that. That's something that God said don't do. And so I encourage you to get that if you hadn't gotten that yet. I want to remind you about Israel. Keep Israel in your prayers as of the president's going to be meeting with the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about this framework of this peace deal that they're wanting to work out over there. There's 100-some-odd thousand missiles pointed at Israel right now. It's sort of like the Alinsky tactic, I feel, that where all of a sudden that this great pressure now is put on Israel. All these guns are put on Israel. Turkey's got all these Iron Curtains, all this stuff's happening. And now they're coming in trying to nudge Israel to do what they wanted to do. And it's like, you know, that may work with a stop sign in your community. It may work with an issue in your community, but this is Israel.
Okay.
I mean, you don't want to organize Israel. You know, you don't want to use those kind of tactics in there. And if you haven't yet heard this series, that because the question was that I had was, as you're looking at all this, and it was just such a reprieve when God revealed this to me, because it's crazy, it's chaos. I mean, you think it's going one direction, then it goes another, and it goes this direction, then it goes another, and with that, you start realizing what's going on is that there is no agenda. There's just keep this rapid movement, and the agenda is not being shared, mm-hmm. so that people can be gathered up and herded up to be able to get to nudge a people to go a certain direction. And as a matter of fact, it's called the Alinsky methodology of that. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a book. What's the name of the book that they wrote?
Drawing a blank. Alinsky Task?
Rules for Radicals. There's God. Yeah, wasn't that fun?
Thank you.
you were squinching your eyes and they were whispering. So I was like, ain't gonna happen. It's gonna happen. Rules for Radicals. It's like, oh, that's going to help us with earplugs on and radio on and all that. So, right. So here we are, and when you understand Rules for Radicals and how this works, and you know, organizing techniques are not necessarily wrong, but it depends on the motives that's being used, what the goal is. If your goal, for example, children can organize against their parents, that's not good. Mm-mm. But you can successfully organize against your parents. Absalom, he organized Israel against his father, David. That's not good, but he was able to organize that. But also you think about Dr. King. Dr. King organized a lot of people for the rights, constitutional rights in America, for African Americans, for everybody, mm-hmm. civil rights. That was good. But organizing Israel is not good.
Not good.
You don't, and it's like, and what you're looking at, the basic tactics that are explained, and it's called, the series is called Children of Organizers of the Night versus Organizer of the Day. And
And it breaks down each of these tactics, and it'll help you. And I think you need to get that under your belt. You need to really get this into your DNA, because I watch Christians. I watch the masses, but you watch Christians, and it's like, you're just like a puppet. You're doing everything that they say is going to happen when you do this and this tactic. This is what people will do, and you do it. You know, and for example, when they were talking about healthcare, and I think everybody needs healthcare. I think as a Christian outside the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God, I'm not going to be standing up and say, "Don't give anybody an aspirin." I can't do that. Sorry. You know, if somebody wants to help Miss Jones, you know, and you're not helping her, then I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to somebody who wants to help Miss Jones, for example. And it's a kingdom of God argument versus the kingdoms of this world argument. And how that's done, that can play out. But so when you see, but when they were bringing that up, and people were, America was, you know, speaking out against, well, the church was speaking out against mandating having to buy insurance that would allow the people that worked for them, Christian organizations, to purchase birth control pills and that type of thing that would eliminate or prevent pregnancy, that they said that this is what our beliefs, this is what we believe in. And so that argument was going strong, and it was, you know, that was a good argument, saying, you know, First Amendment says you couldn't do that. But what happened was the Alinsky tactics were used, to where all of a sudden they changed the argument. Well, no. The argument originally was about healthcare in general, and that argument wasn't going over too well. And that's when they turned it over and made it about birth control in the church. And all of a sudden, we have these hearings taking place, and the church is focusing on the birth control and having to purchase it for insurance, and totally left the argument. This is unconstitutional.
Right. Hello,
you know, and it's like, oh, that was so. A brilliant move on behalf of somebody who knows how to organize folks. They changed the argument. So immediately the argument went from, this is unconstitutional because about a third of the gross national product will be controlled by the government. The government will be in control of the people, and it's supposed to be a government by the people, other way around. But everybody just shifted, and all of a sudden now it became about birth control, and it came about the church, and they came right in and attacked the church. It was a huge assault on the First Amendment and the Catholic social services and some of the things that they do. And I guess they had to defend themselves, but not leave that original argument. Well, those are it just makes sense when you understand the Alinsky model of organizing, and understanding too that the president taught these tactics for 4 years. He taught them for 4 years. And according to the Chicago Tribune, and he also worked with Alinsky, he was mentored by Alinsky, and so was former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. She was mentored by Saul Alinsky. And she even wrote a paper on Saul Alinsky in her graduate class, which is sealed to this day. So we have no idea. Everybody's wanting to know. It's like, I would just like to know. I mean, because everything's out. It's like, why would you not want to share? What does this say? Okay. You know, what could that paper say? I know my papers would be terrible. It's like, yeah, I know it's a typo, subject verb agreement, and it just, you know.
I just didn't write them.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't write?
And so, but, and this is what the Word of God tells us, that God's people are destroyed. It doesn't say they're delayed. It doesn't say they're hindered. The Word of God says God's people are destroyed now for a lack of knowledge. So why not get knowledge? Because when you let's go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. I think you see the torch going even possibly behind me, and look for there's a torch in the upper left hand corner right there, but look for children organizers of the night versus organizer of the day, and understand that we as Christians, that we're organized by Jesus. We're organized by Jesus. We follow Him. And He has clarity. He knows what He's doing. I mean, He is God, and he knows what He's doing. He's the Son of God. He's leading us. His Spirit is dwelling inside of us. And when you think about Saul, when I talked about, you know, Saul, why are you organizing me?
that Saul was thought he was doing a work for God, but when he met God, he realized he was organizing against God. So what happened at that point, he took all of his skills, his ability to organize, and he submitted them to God. And he said, Jesus, I'm yours. And then Jesus began to organize Paul. And, of course, he was Saul, and then his name got changed to Paul. But all of a sudden, this apostle, he became organized by Jesus. He is the supreme organizer. I mean, God's into organizing, but he is the organizer. And so what he did, Paul would listen to what God would tell him in dreams and visions and words and visitations and through the leadings, and he would do exactly what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that he gave up all of his skill set. He submitted his skill set. And so when you see all this thing, you're like organizing Israel. Mm. And that's what's taking place right now. Because somebody says, well, I will never do that. Well, if you have 100-something thousand missiles pointing at you, you have the whole world turning against you. You have the whole Arab League turned over to Vladimir Putin. You have, the Russian Navy not only in the ocean right outside of Israel, but you also have it on the backdrop of our choice of our president, why they're speaking about who's going to lead our nation. I mean, the Russian Navy being there, that if you're Israel, you got to be a little, intimidated about. Maybe originally you wouldn't have said, I would do this. But now it's like, we have 150-something thousand missiles pointed at us. And no, as Christians, we would say, I still can't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. I still can't give up what God said to me. And I'll love you, and I'll pray for you, but I'm going to allow Jesus to organize me. Well, those techniques are being used right now on Israel. They're being used everywhere. Mm-hmm. The world's being organized right now, those tactics. This is the interesting thing about this book, by the way, and we'll go to break. The interesting thing about this book called Rules for Radicals, the author, Saul Alinsky, who wrote it, and I believe he was in prison when he wrote it, but the book is dedicated to someone in the very beginning of it. And he says he was the first one that did this and got his own kingdom. And he dedicates this book, Rules for Radicals, he dedicates it to Lucifer. To Lucifer.
Wow.
And it's like, all that stuff going on inside churches where you're trying to organize folks outside the authority that's there, or you're trying to do things, manipulate and all. It's like, we got to allow Jesus to lead us, the supreme organizer. And he writes very distinctly down what he wants us to do. And he also leads us as we abide with him. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Before you do that.
Yes.
Before you say
yes. Yes.
So here I am. There I was.
There you were.
There I was.
All yous and yourselves.
Yeah, I put it, anyway.
Yes.
Down in the Emerald Coast, we have not only snails that eat houses, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's true. Yeah,
not only do we have mosquitoes that are very widespread.
Size of your hand.
Size of your hand.
Mm.
We have all kinds of things. And so Don and I got the back porch. We just put a screen around it.
Mm.
And so you can actually use the back porch. It's totally different in this neck of the woods. You definitely want to have a screen so you can enjoy it. So, especially since there wasn't a freeze going on, what you get a screen for? Signs the time, bro. Signs the time. That's where the locusts will land outside on the screen, right? If they would have had a screened room with the locusts coming, they would have actually...
They would have made it.
Would have at least saved the food and the day's worth of food. Tozer was writing in some of his writings that in Jesus' day, to be considered wealthy, it meant that you had 2 days' worth of clothes and a day's worth of food.
Wow.
Wow.
That's what wealth meant when Jesus was talking. Imagine how wealthy he sees America today. So anyway, so I look at him, the man putting in the screen. I said, listen, the whole purpose of this is to keep the locusts on the outside, right? That's the whole purpose. Now, if you can't do that, there ain't no reason to put it up.
goes, oh, man, I guarantee there's not going to be anything getting in here at all, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, wow, I wonder what that's like to sit on the back porch without having
right,
things
attacked.
Laying in your ear and stuff at nighttime. Well, look at the sun. Look at the bug in my ear. Anyway, and so I just happened to be out there last night, and it was dark, and I kept on hearing this boom, 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 and I'm thinking, man, what's Donna doing, right? It's supposed to be peaceful out here. Why isn't it peaceful? And it's boom, boom. I'm thinking, what is that? What is going on? And it went for the longest time. So I'm thinking, well, obviously there's some sort of locust trying to get in from the outside. But then all of a sudden, as I'm hearing all this, I kind of looked down in the dark, and I saw something darker than the dark launching itself against the screen. I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
Is there a warranty on this thing?
I didn't let anything in. I did not let anything in here with me. How did it get in here?
It was in?
And so It was in.
Trying to get out.
In. Now, he's talking about no mosquito. This thing was just big. And so I finally, make it quickly to the light. What is this thing? All kinds of things down here. And it was a frog. A whole frog.
I wish I could be
a frog. Now, he told me a mosquito couldn't get in. A frog can't even get out. It's going like boom, 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 trying to commit suicide. Get, I'm like, what are you doing? And how did this go? So I took a picture of it.
Oh,
and I'm gonna contact him and say, listen. Take this thing down. A frog got in there.
Put this on your website.
A frog got in this screened-in room. All kinds of locusts going to get in here. My goodness, I couldn't believe that.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I wish I would have been into that frog.
I need a refund.
You're right. No doubt. He's going to hear about it. I want the frog holes closed up. I don't know where a frog... I don't know what he did. A demon.
Might have trapped him in there, will you?
He had to be there a while.
And those frogs get big, too. Was it a big one?
Oh, it was big. I got a picture of it. I got a picture of that puppy. It's looking at me going like, I'm trying to get out. I just can't get out. It's like, it shouldn't be here in the first place.
Phew,
it's like the plagues were supposed to be on the outside of that screen,
exactly.
Not on the inside
exactly.
of the screen.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton. You know, you think about a powerful scripture that is made clear to us when in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then John chapter 3, when he starts talking about that Jesus is saying that the Son of Man did not come in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And it's like, wow, what a huge relief that the church's job is not to be out there condemning folks.
Right.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, what a concept.
Isn't that just, so I just want to free you right now. You're thinking like, I don't know, who am I going to condemn today? It's like, that's not our job.
Right.
That's not our job. Jesus didn't come to condemn, but he came to save. So why would it be? Why would some religious person think that that's their job to condemn? Mm-hmm. You know, but he came to save. And you think, well, that's called conviction. What you're thinking about is conviction. When you think about when somebody tells you about the things of God, because what happens is. When Adam fell, when one man fell, everybody fell. We all fell. And outside of that, outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, we were all bound and we were all condemned to death. Mm-hmm. So we're already serving a life sentence. And it's sort of like, can you imagine walking up to a prisoner that's on the death row and you look in the bars, you walk by him, you look in the bars and you tell him, he says, you're a prisoner. The guy's going to go, get this guy out of here, right? It's like, yeah, of course I'm a prisoner. I've been sentenced. I've been condemned, you know? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you go, and that's the way it is when you tell somebody about their state.
They already know that. They already feel that. They already know. They agree with you instantly, but it's not going to produce anything. It's not. I mean, telling somebody what they are already is not going to motivate them. Mm. But begin to talk to them about the love of God, that God loves them, and God's got a plan for your life, and that, you know, where you are right now, that sin separates us from God, but God dealt with the sin issue on the cross, and that if you have a relationship with him, he'll free us from this captivity, from this condemned state. He didn't come in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So our job, our responsibility, our ministry as believers is to tell you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Now, you can convince me that everything's all right and you're going to survive outside of your relationship with God. And I'm, you know... And you can, you know, you're only fooling yourself in the context of that, because since you're already in a condemned state, it's not going to end well.
Right.
You know, it's appointed once to die, and then the judgment for the very fact that someone's saying, listen, man, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, and drawing you, and the Holy Spirit's drawing you to Jesus. That's your moment in time to go, you know what? I am in this jail cell. I am locked down. I am on death row. I know that I'm serving a life sentence right here. But I just checked the gates. I just checked the door on this jail cell, and I realize that the key has been put into it. And the key is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if I push this door open, which is Jesus Christ, if I walk through this doorway, I will no longer be sitting in this jail cell anymore. I will not be serving a life sentence anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's so important. And so, you know, telling them that they're a prisoner is not going to encourage them, right. You know, and right now you have so many, you know, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And you have some folks right now that are cranking up a notch, focusing on certain sins, while they themselves are in, you know, four or five other sins. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's not good. You're not going to win that fight. Mm-hmm. As I said, you know, earlier programs, like, they're going to eat your lunch,
yeah.
You know, besides, that's not where we're not called to be sin focused. We're called to be focused on the kingdom of God and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Understand, telling me what I'm doing is sin when I don't know Jesus don't make no sense to me. And you're just telling me that I, you know, it doesn't make no sense.
Right.
The message of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. Get me to be a believer first. Let me know that God loves me first. Mm-hmm. You know, tell me the plan he has for me. He plans to bless me and to restore the years that my wrong way of living has destroyed in my life, that he can take this dark state, this place of broken relationship and endless dead end roads, and he can bring me on a life's journey to just that flourishes and blesses me. Let me know about that. Mm-hmm. And it's, I can imagine that people saying, you know, we got to go out here and get all this cleaning gear. And I says, why you want all this cleaning gear? And he says, well, you don't want to go fishing. I said, you don't fish with cleaning gear. You don't fish with, you know, scaling knives and all that stuff that you do to be able to clean a fish. You fish with fishing gear. And then after the fish says, okay, here I am, I'm mm-hmm. in your net, then you clean me. Mm-hmm. But what fish is going to volunteer, because it makes no sense to them? Can you start scaling me, because I'm thinking about biting the hook? I mean, you know, I mean, can you start, you know, telling me to get sin out of my life before I even know Jesus who dealt with my sin? It makes no sense. And so I just want to encourage you. When he says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, remember Jesus said himself that he did not come in the world to condemn the world, but he came in the world to save the world. And if we move outside of that, we ourselves are going to be condemned. We're opening ourselves up for somebody eating our lunch, because God's not going to let you have that kind of glory. Like, all of a sudden your own righteousness has saved you. Mm-hmm. But once you know Jesus, once you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you understand at that point, he begins to just walk you on this journey. What you couldn't do outside the power, the finished work on the cross of Christ, you're able to do now, because Christ dwells inside of you. And when you rely on the finished work of the cross of Christ, what he asks of you, is amazing how the Holy Spirit empowers you to be able to walk this walk. And isn't it amazing?
Yeah, it's powerful.
And it's amazing, too, when somebody becomes, they make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life and they're a Christian, that they did that by faith, but all of a sudden it's like Galatians, somebody cuts in on them and they start now trying to accomplish by works what they got by faith. And they're trying to make themselves change and be transformed, and they just keep falling and falling and falling. But the thing about it is, and this is what Paul said, is who's bewitched you? Who's cut in on you? Mm-hmm. Are you trying to finish in the flesh what was begun in the spirit? And what happens, though, when you continue to rely on the finished work of Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, is to understand that he will empower you. He will empower you. He will empower you to be able to walk out in a place of obedience that you never could. You never could. But it's amazing. Isn't it amazing how he can do that?
Yeah.
And you get no credit for it, because if he was to pull his hand back, you know, he could prove him that it's him, right?
Instantly.
At any moment, God can pull the rug out from anybody. And he still loves the person. He still loves us. But just to show that it's him and it's not us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage you today that if you've been caught up in that condemning bandwagon and you felt like it's your job to point out, you know, everybody's faults and all their problems at workplace, and you're thinking you're witnessing for Jesus when you're actually just being critical and fault-finding in the workplace, you're damaging the gospel by doing that, or buying people's books and just circling all the wrong things. Think about it. We're called to share forth the love of God. Now, you may be being convicted about wrong things you're doing, and don't mix that up with being condemned. That's just God convicting you by his spirit, letting you know that if you'll come to me, I'll forgive you. If you'll confess that thing that I'm touching in your life, I'll forgive you, I'll restore you, I'll heal you. Listen, Jesus Christ did not come in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And now he's sending us out to do the very same thing, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs, in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years, where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it, on the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. You Scrub a Pup in Merriester, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, afterbath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.